And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Ryan Pace has done such an amazing job of building the last 3 years. We have a lot of depth. We feel like we're going to have a great opportunity offensively to do what we need to do. And the time is now. We know that.
It's Hogan Johns.
Come Sunday or Monday, Thursday, whatever time it is, we prepare.
Like, my success doesn't really matter as much as the team's success.
You can feel the energy, the juice, the swag coming back.
It's a fun time to be a Chicago Bear.
From NBC Sports Chicago, it's Adam Ho.
You are the father.
Daddy?
And from the Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
It truly is a beauty and the beast. I might add a handsome beast at that.
It's the Adams.
The Adams converge.
Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in. Hogue and Johns with you in our annual training camp interview with the general manager, Ryan Pace. And for the first time doing this on video, if you're watching on YouTube and out here on your beautiful practice fields, we were just talking about how this all just used to be trees. And now it looks like this.
This is one of my favorite parts of our facility. These two fields back here. It's kind of private. It's tranquil. We got the Walter Payton Hill. It's just, I love this area of our facility right here.
It's just amazing how much it's changed. We were talking about that like 10 years ago when we started covering this team, how just the buildings doubled in size. Your fields have doubled, literally have doubled. Now you've gone from 2 to 4. It's just a beautiful facility. I think some fans are now taking it for the first time.
For sure, Adam, you include our indoor. I mean, we have 5 100-yard fields. And I think about the Dolphins coming here in a week, like the ability to do those things, it's because we have this facility and it's awesome. And to come back here for training camp and utilize all these assets is great for our players.
How rewarding does it feel? Because this has been a long process since you got here in terms of the facilities around here, kind of starting small, then building on. But now that you've reached this point where you actually have training, I know you had it here last year, but that really, to me, like doesn't count because of COVID and everything. This is really training camp now. It has to feel like you've accomplished something on that side of things.
Yeah, I guess I'm proud of our whole building and our staff and, you know, thankful for our ownership for providing all these assets, and our players feel it. I mean, we talked about it in the opening team meeting. You know, our ability is, you know, our task is to acquire the right players and then develop them once they get in our building. And now we have all these unbelievable resources to do that. And, you know, I've always said training camp is one of the most taxing times on their body. So for recovery purposes and all those things, to have all these tools, it's a real competitive advantage. I mean, this is a top 5 NFL facility. And we feel it every day.
Well, let's start with one of those players that you acquired this year. Everybody's going crazy about Justin Fields. For you, as Matt Nagy's plan unfolds for him, this patient plan, from your GM seat, like, what are you looking for? What do you want to see on the field, the later off the field? Like, what's your evaluation like with this plan?
Yeah, you're right. And we couldn't be more connected on this whole plan. The whole entire building is, you know, and it starts with, you know, the acquisition of Andy Dalton, the confidence that we have in him. And it allows us to do this the right way, you know. And there's so many things that go into playing that position beyond what's just your physical talent is. So it allows us to bring Justin along at the right rate as he learns our offense, as he learns NFL defenses. It's just, we can progress at the right rate, you know.
Everyone's talking about his work ethic. Everyone's talking about how good it is, whether it's coaches, players. His teammates are noticing it. Do you have any stories for us, like, since he's been here, since you drafted him, that he's just wowed you?
Yeah, you know what's cool about it is all three of them have crazy work ethic. I was here the other day at 6 a.m. and Foles is in the weight room working out at 6 a.m, you know, and Dalton and the things he does and the leadership and the confidence. And, you know, Andy, it's a couple of days before all the vets get in here and he has all the guys over at his house for dinner and just those kind of natural things from Andy. And then Justin, he's in the building, you know, 24/7. I mean, we break in mid-June and I come up here like on a random Saturday or something. And there's one car I don't recognize in the parking lot. I don't know who is a truck. And I come in the building and I'm walking through the hallway and it's empty. I'm the only one in Hallis. It's kind of eerie. And around the corner comes Justin. you know, and he's up here just getting a workout in. So all three of them have that, you know, and it's a really good room, and they all kind of feed off each other, and it's good to see.
It's got to be a good problem to have. Like, hey, like, what are you doing here? Can you go take a break for a little bit? But he just, like, you want him to have an off switch at some point, but he just seems to be on. And I don't know, would you call that a good problem to have? Would you just especially a young guy?
With any position, Adam, but especially that position, you got to be obsessed to be, we talk about it all, obsessed to be great, you know, and it goes, you know, the weight training and the film study and the everything you see on the field. And it's just natural. It's 24/7. It's hard to turn that off. I mean, all the good ones, Matt talks about Alex Smith and I reference Drew Brees, and they're all that way, you know, and it's just natural for him and for Andy and for Nick.
One early observation of mine from the first few practices looking at the quarterbacks is you see the polish of Andy Dalton and that experience, just, I guess, the way, even though he's in a new place, getting in and out of the huddle, and then you can kind of tell with Justin that it's still a work in progress. But, I mean, that's kind of how it should be at this point, right?
For sure, and Justin's learning watching Andy do that. And, you know, I've had several veteran players come up to me and talk about the confidence that Andy plays with. You know, the things that I can't hear, what's going on in the huddle, what's going on in some of these, in some of our meetings. And, you know, I'll look, it's happened probably 5 or 6 times just through the offseason. I'll look out on the field and the entire offense is circled around and I'm thinking, okay, you know, a coach is talking, Matt's talking, it's Andy Dalton instructing the whole offense and how he likes a certain play and kind of demonstrating on how he wants the route run. And that just comes from his experience and his confidence.
The way he's embraced, like, this being a placeholder for Justin Fields. I don't know if that's the right word. I don't know if you guys even like that word to be used for him, but he's seemed to really embrace this relationship, helping Justin as much as he can, like going out to dinner, having him over to hang out with his wife. Like, that's got to be unique, I would say, with how competitive these guys are, how many times these guys are looking over their shoulders to have this veteran quarterback do that almost naturally. Like, what do you think about that?
I think it starts with him just being a special person. Like, Andy's a really, really good person, a really, really good man. And then I also think he has great internal confidence. He's very confident. So he's not looking over his shoulder. He wants what's best for the team. And you see him, like, you reference going out to dinner or having him over to his house. And after practice, you know, he's out there working with Justin on his footwork. And there's all different examples of that, which I really think show you truly the type of person that Andy is.
So when you look back on this offseason and how you got to this point, I mean, can you put it into words how crazy and wild it was? Because everyone knew going back to January and Matthew Stafford getting traded that it was going to be a wild year with the quarterbacks. And even when you signed Andy Dalton, you didn't know you were going to end up with Justin Fields. So what was it like for you?
I mean, as soon as the season ends, Matt and I are locked in our offices, obsessed with the quarterback position. And you have, you know, you have one ranking of all the trade candidates, and we're talking about all those. You have a ranking of all the UFA quarterbacks. We know who those are. And then, you know, it's in the early stages of kind of sorting out our draft board. You have all those. And I have a picture in my phone of when I think it was like early January, taking that photo of each one of those columns. And now looking back, sitting here now, knowing that we got, you know, Andy as a UFA, and we got Justin in the draft, like, we couldn't be happier.
So you were making fun of me for my whiteboard, and look.
Yours is, like, very small.
Well, though. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it didn't look like the one that they have inside
his,
the building.
His whiteboard goes from the ceiling to the floor. Yours, like, can fit on your lap.
Trade candidates and things like that.
But I think the whole thing, when I think about that, it was like, hey, we're going to explore every single option to make this position a strength for the Bears. Yeah. And really, right now, 1-3, we feel like it is.
How exhausting is that? Like, building the board is one thing, but then, like, discussing it, watching these guys in film, having conversations with the people that you have to around the league, and that's at different times of the day, you know, because people are different across the league. I'm just curious, like, the exhaustion and the hours it takes, not only to build that board, but then to attack that board and have this come to fruition.
Yeah, and it's what we love to do. I mean, it's 365, 24/7. You never turn it off, ever, you know? And Matt shares that obsession with me, and you know, especially with making sure we get that position right. So we just attacked it arm in arm, and we were united the whole way, and we talked about every scenario. And then, I mean, there's things that, you know, you got to plan for all these different scenarios. There's some good fortune that's got to come your way. I'm not going to lie. There's different things that got to play out, but when you're doing it together, I mean, I'll pick up the phone. We can call each other at 3 a.m. We're going to both answer on the first ring, and we're going to talk about this football team. And that's just the approach we both had together.
And speaking of the strength you have in that room, is it odd at all watching Nick Foles going up against third stringers? Because I got to admit, like, just watching some of these practices, it's a little odd to me. Yeah. You're not used to seeing a Super Bowl MVP going against third stringers early on in training camp.
And Nick's handled it. I know Matt touched on that today. Nick's been awesome. And what I like about it is, like, I look in the huddle and there's some young receivers and some young offensive linemen. And I'm thinking about those 10 guys with Nick Foles in the huddle communicating with them. I mean, what a great thing to have. It allows the offense to just function at a high level, even when you're dealing with, you know, some backup players and some young players, to have that experience level at the quarterback position in the huddle, kind of orchestrating the whole thing. I think it allows practice to run smooth.
They must enhance, like, the evaluations too, from having the expectation different. Like, the quarterback is a Super Bowl winner, so you better be in the right place at the right time. Yeah. If you're a receiver, if you're a defender, I think you're tested more than maybe some undrafted quarterback who's attacking you. So that must change the evaluation process.
Yeah, but you're 100% right. It allows us to, the ball's coming out with anticipation, with timing, so the receivers better be right. The DBs are challenged because the ball is going to be accurate. You don't get that a lot of times when you're talking about your third quarterback, you know, and for us to have that room, it's a good feeling.
All right, we could talk about some other positions too. Is David Montgomery faster? He looks faster.
He looks faster. I know he worked on it a lot this summer. And I know I keep on saying obsessed. He's obsessed. You know what I mean? He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's really locked in and focused right now. He worked his butt off all summer, and I think it's evident in the early days of this camp.
He seems a bit more vocal too. I know he emphasized that for himself, at least in talking to us, but we always heard about him being such a great leader, a guy that people rally to. When he was at Iowa State, are you starting to see some of those qualities show through in his third season?
Yeah, and I think it's natural for these guys, as you know, it's no, you know, David or Bilal or Roquan or these guys that are, you kind of grow into your own and you get more confident, and you're confident in the offense and the defense and your teammates. And yeah, David was that way in college, and I think we're seeing it now, you know. And but I think a lot of these guys, before they become vocal, they want to prove it first. And those guys have all now proven they're good NFL players. So I think they can be more vocal now.
As this train goes by, so we used to joke around. We used to come up here like the early days of Hallis Hall before the remodel was here, before the train was a thing. Like, there's always this little plane that would go over and be like, oh, there goes Ted Thompson again. right. Now I guess it'd be Brian Gutekunst. Like, you know, there goes the Green Bay Packers, you know, sneaking a look at the Bears and stuff.
Yeah, you ever worry like Matt LaFleur is in one of those trains?
Yeah, it's too fast, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So you mentioned the Dolphins coming here. This will be the first time you're going to have a team come to this facility, but in past years, and you were supposed to have this again with the Broncos last year, and obviously COVID wiped that out. But I know you've talked so much in the past about how valuable that is to see your team go up against another team.
Yeah,
there goes Ted Thompson right now.
why the Dolphins? And I mean, I guess they're on the schedule, but yeah. What are you hoping to get out of that next week?
Yeah, you know, I think you're just communicating with their GM and their head coach. It just timed up well. And I think for us, especially with three preseason games, to get that extra work in those combined practices, it's a little more controlled, right? So you can kind of control the tempo. And from an evaluation standpoint, for our own guys first, to see them in that setting and then to see another team too, it's valuable. And I think I won't be surprised. We talked about the space that we have here with five fields.
Yeah.
And all this room, there's a lot of teams in the South that I think could be looking to come up here, you know, that's a little cooler, and it just works out well, you know. I wouldn't be surprised if this becomes a regular thing.
It was 95 and humid, I think, on your first day of camp.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But today's been beautiful.
What are we going to see that's different with only three preseason games? Because I know as evaluators, you didn't mind having the fourth one. So yeah. So what's different?
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's going to condense it a lot. You know, that fourth preseason game as a scout coming up was huge, you know, because you'd see all those young guys play almost the whole game, you know. So we're going to have to get, you know, creative and put a lot of thought to how we're divvying up these reps, because the veteran players need it, the starters need it, but we need to evaluate the young guys too. So yeah, I think it's a little more challenging for us to fit that in with the three games.
Speaking of some of your young guys, it's only been a few days of camp, but Cole Kmet, Jalen Johnson, Darnell Mooney, your second-year players, who are all pretty good rookie years.
Yep.
Like, what are you seeing from them? Because, at least from our perspective, when you're noticeable at camp,
yep,
you're making plays, like, that's a good sign, at least from our media perspective. So I'm curious, sure. What are you seeing from them?
And our scouts are all in right now. Same thing with Travis Gibson and Kendall Vildor. Like, those guys are all playing well right now. And it's just, it's cool to see. And I think it's just a comfort level in the offense and defense, allowing them to play faster and playing with confidence and playing with their instincts. The more you know the playbook, the more you understand the nuances, the faster and quicker and more instinctive you can play. And I think you see it with all those guys. I mean, Cole Kmet right now, just his ability to separate, he's not thinking as much. He's just playing football. And I think it applies to all those guys.
I was really impressed with how Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmet specifically adapted last year to the conditions that they were in, not having any kind of offseason, rookie minicamp. None of that happened. Training camp was condensed. There were no preseason games to get those valuable reps that you were just talking about. And especially in Darnell's case, pretty much played right away.
Yep.
I mean, how were those guys able to pick it up so quickly given those tough circumstances?
Man, it's a huge credit to them as professionals, the mindsets they have, our college scouts, I think, identifying that. And then our coaches in preparing those guys. I mean, the amount of hours and time they spend together just getting them prepared, it's a credit to both of those things. And I think what I appreciated is you could have had a million things to make excuses last year, and there was never any excuses made. It's like, these are the facts, these are the parameters that every team's dealing with, and how are we going to make the most of it? And those guys, it was cool to see how fast their careers accelerated at an early stage.
The energy feels a bit different this year. I don't know if it's the normalcy of it with having fans out here and having it. Well, you had an off-season program, unlike last year. But to me, it's like what the defense is doing. We asked your new defensive coordinator, Sean Desai, about this. Just the yelling and the taunting. And, you know, like Jimmy Graham catches a ball. He's walking through the defensive sideline, and they are on him, like, every step of the way. Like,
or Bilal yelling at Matt yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Like, literally right waving his finger after intercepting a pass. I think it starts with Sean, but like just that type of chemistry, energy, almost a nastiness emerging. I don't know if you see it too, but like, what do you make of all the yelling right now?
It's been building throughout the whole offseason. What's cool about it is it's authentic. It's not just this fake rah-rah. It's real. And I think it's Sean Desai, but I think also it's the competition we have throughout our roster. There's a ton of competition now at a lot of positions, and I think it brings out some of that juice and energy that you see. And, you know, there's a big emphasis right now on us practicing fast and practicing with tempo and practicing with energy, and our players have taken to that. And the leaders, you know, they lead the charge. You know, Khalil and those guys, they lead the charge. But it's cool to see right now.
Now, Sean had been here, and he's taken a big step forward that everyone in this building seems like he totally deserves, and no one seems worried about it. You did have a lot of turnover, though, on that side of the ball in terms of your coaching staff. What should we know about some of the new guys and how that's all come together?
You know, Matt and I talk about it. When we hire new coaches, to me, it's like signing a UFA. Like, it's that important because they're really multipliers, you know? And, you know, especially on the, I think about the defensive side, like Chris Rumpf, he's outstanding. The energy that he has, dealing with different personalities, the experience that he has. Coach McGovern and Coach Desai has some background with him. He's been really good. So we've added, you know, there's probably some guys I'm not mentioning, but we've added a lot of talent to our coaching staff. And it's been cool to see how well that's all meshed together very quickly. And I think the players feel it.
The step that Roquan Smith took last year, that had to be rewarding for you in a sense, you know, with him being a top 10 guy. But I'm just curious, like, how do you identify what's next for him? He seems so humble, doesn't want to talk about last year or even this year. But from your perspective, in terms of being like Sean's voice out there to becoming that next star linebacker for an organization that just had, you know, Hall of Famers at that position, like, what are you seeing from him and what's your expectation, you know, as an organization?
What's cool about it is just the consistency. I mean, every day the way he practices, every day the way he prepares, and it translates to the games, and you see his leadership shining through. And, you know, he wears the green dot, so he's handling the communication and, you know, mastering our defense and lining guys up, and just All those things are very natural for him. So beyond the talent that you see, I mean, he's flying around like a missile right now on the practice field. But then all the leadership that he has and the football IQ that he has, it's just natural for him, man. I mean, he's here all the time. He works his tail off, and he's becoming a true, true natural leader of our defense.
Yesterday, Matt, and I'm pretty sure it was unprompted, brought up Robert Quinn as somebody who stood out early. What gives you confidence that he's going to come out of this season with more than two sacks?
Yeah, you know, I think last year was a challenge for a lot of us, you know, and he was new here, and the season was different, the circumstances were different. But I think as our defense is healthy, and you have all those guys, you have Eddie Goldman back, you have some of these pieces back, and Robert's really settling in. And Robert was battling some injuries last year too. But he's a good player, and there's proven production throughout his career, and you see it right now. I mean, he's flying off the edge, and just his work ethic and his approach, and we're lucky to have him. you throw in obviously Khalil and Atachu and some of the other guys we have. We think that's like a real strength for us, and we can see him having a big year.
Yeah, the defensive line has looked like a position of strength again on during this training camp. So Eddie Goldman's part of that. Does he look like the Eddie Goldman of old? I mean, you have not seen him play in an actual football game in over a calendar year. I'm curious, like, he looks thinner almost, but is it the same Eddie Goldman out there?
Yeah, he came in great shape, and right away, I mean, he's such a natural nose tackle, like the pad level that he plays with, how quick he can read blocks. He hasn't skipped a beat, you know, the way he's practicing right now. And I mean, we don't have the pads on yet, but you can tell, you can feel his conditioning. But you have, you know, Bilal and Eddie and Akeem and Mario and Angelo Blackson, who's been a good addition for us, and you throw in the outside linebackers, it is a strength of us. But I think Eddie's a good centerpiece of that. I know our inside linebackers are happy to have him back, and we are too.
I've always wondered this. When you're out here on the practice field, because you're out here every day, what are you watching?
You know, it's you know, it's, sometimes it's, you know, focus on a different position a day. You know, there's certain positions where I know where there's kind of a hyper focus for us as a personnel department, watching a lot of the younger guys, watching a lot of the things that you can't necessarily see on tape, because I can go back to my office and rewatch these practices 100 times, but there's other things that are happening within practice that might not be on tape that we can catch while we're out here.
Well, how about some of the competitions then? At least the ones that come to mind, it's cornerback and nickelback.
Yep.
How are those coming to fruition for you? All new faces, or some new faces in both those spots? Yeah,
for sure. And there's a good mix of the veteran players and then the young emerging players that are coming on. And the nickel position, we got some flexibility with a handful of those safeties that can also play nickel. And so there's some versatility there. So we got a long time for that to all play out. But what I like is the number of guys we have, the variety of skill sets that they have, and we just got to let that whole thing battle out.
A final question I have is, what is the impact of 17 games, adding a game to the schedule? How much of a focus has that been in terms of planning, training, whatever? Because it is an extra full game. It's a big deal.
Yeah, you know, I think, again, we haven't spent a lot of time. It's just every team's dealing with it. But I think just focusing on our players' recovery and how we take care of them and their conditioning and, again, all the resources we have here, I think that'll bode well for us as we add that extra game to our season.
Last one for me is, who aren't we talking about? Like, who are we missing? I know Tevin Jenkins is dealing with his back issue and whatnot, and he'll be expected back soon. But who are some of the guys, young guys, even maybe some veterans that are new who have caught your eye here in the early going?
Yeah, there's a handful of guys who I just think have had great off seasons, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but, you know, Bilal Nichols, and, you know, we're talking about David Montgomery, you talked about Damien Williams, adding him in the off season, he stood out.
Marquise Goodwin seems to be making a play every day.
Marquise Goodwin. I mean, what's all, everybody talks about his speed, but, like, his professionalism, he's one of the first guys out there, all the extra things that he does. He's a really good route runner. He's been an awesome addition, along with Demir Byrd. So there's a lot of guys like that. Again, I think our scouting department's done a good job adding competition to this roster, and it's going to be fun to watch this whole thing play out. I mean, I was talking to our coaches, we're going to have some really hard decisions as we cut down, as we go from 90 to 85 to 80 to 53, and you want it that way. So it'll be good.
Well, I'm excited to see the pads on next week. I'm sure you are too.
For sure. That's when guys can start separating themselves.
Yeah.
There's no
real
doubt.
Football.
Real football.
It looks like those offensive linemen especially look more than eager. Yes. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, it's hot enough out here. We'll make sure we get out of here before a freight train comes through too for about 10 minutes. Ryan, thanks so much for your time. We always appreciate you doing this with us every year, and it's awesome doing it in this setting as well.
For sure. I appreciate you guys, and I love doing this with you too. So thank you.
All right. There he is. Bears general manager, Ryan Pace.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Hey, if you're like me, an outfit, good or bad, can impact your entire day. Wearing a starchy shirt, that just doesn't feel good. You're not comfortable. It's hard to look good and feel good at the same time. But that's where Rhone comes in, because men's closets were due for a radical reinvention, and Rhone stepped up to the challenge. Rhone's commuter collection is the most comfortable, breathable, and truly versatile set of products known to man. They have products for every occasion. We're talking about the world's most comfortable pants, dress shirts, quarter zips, polos, blazers. They look great as individual pieces that work seamlessly together. Rhone's signature four-way stretch fabric is breathable, flexible, and works everywhere, from your commute to work to even the 19th hole. It's time for unparalleled confidence without all the hassle. My favorite Rhone shirt is this white dress shirt. Looks like a dress shirt, but it also looks casual at the same time. It's got anti-odor technology. They call it Gold Fusion, and it doesn't get wrinkled. It stays fresh and clean all day long. No lingering odors or anything like that. The Commuter Collection is easy to care for while staying fresh and odor-free. The Commuter Collection can get you through any workday, straight to whatever comes next. Head to Rhone.com/Adam. Use promo code Adam to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to Rhone. That's Rhone.com/Adam. Use code Adam. It is time to find your corner office comfort.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Well, it's always awesome getting the opportunity to talk to Ryan Pace in training camp. Always like to have a few practices under the belt too, so we can, you know, bring up some observations.
He's seen some things, we've seen some things.
Yeah, and it's still early, no pads. I mean, I wish we could see pads earlier, but
Rules are rules.
The players have successfully pushed that down the road and got rid of one of the preseason games, which I don't think we're complaining about. But
not me. I don't think he is either. Let's be clear. Yeah, they like to evaluate players as much as they can, but sometimes that extra fourth preseason game, you already have your answers in a sense.
All right, takeaways from the interview though. A lot of quarterback talk, obviously. One thing I'll say is I think the Dalton, I don't want to say hype, but I think everything that they've said positively about Dalton has been backed up so far in camp. I don't think he's had a bad day. I thought, the second full day of practice, the offense was kind of a disaster against the defense. But I didn't actually think it was the quarterback's fault. I just thought that basically nobody was blocking anyone. And they're having problems because they don't have pads on. I think Dalton's looked okay. But it's also nice to hear him bring up some of that stuff about Fields and his work ethic.
Yeah, I think naturally you want to compare – like what you're seeing now, it's what you just saw last year. So you had this quarterback competition between Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky last year. If Andy Dalton was playing this way and he was in this competition last year, he would win it.
Yes.
And wouldn't even be close, in my opinion. Because at one point, like, Foles caught up to Trubisky, and you're just wondering what's going on there. This is finally going to happen, and then Trubisky gets better. Like, Andy Dalton has been consistently good. Has he been great? Maybe not, but he's had a couple great throws. He's been consistent every single day in practice.
Yeah, I think consistent's a good way to put it. I guess, and I'm just having flashbacks now to last year because that competition happened
right here on this field.
Yeah. We're in that corner with our binoculars trying to watch everything. And there were a lot of balls hitting the ground.
There was.
Today, not a lot of balls hitting the ground. I thought, you know, that whatever problems they've been having, they kind of cleaned up. Justin Fields, though, early impressions with him.
Every day he leaves you with that one throw, at least one throw. We're like, wow, that's it. Now he's going to have some problems. Maybe he's not getting through his reads as quickly as the Bears want or as quickly as Andy Dalton is, but that's to be expected, man. Like, he's a rookie and they're challenging him. They're throwing a lot at him, but every now and then, let me clarify this. Every day he leaves you with at least one throw where you're like, wow, that's it. He gives his guys a chance a lot too. I'll say that. Like, there's a throw to Jesse James, the new tight end that the Bears just signed, like down the seam the other day, where you're thinking like Trubisky either airmails that or it's falling short, or a defender maybe gets a hand on it. He gave him a shot to make a catch, and he's consistently done that with his receivers.
That's a good observation by you, because I've noticed that too. There's a lot of passes where the receiver is able to high point it.
Yes.
You know, it's put in a position where only the receiver can get the ball. I have noticed that pretty much throughout every practice. That maybe there's a couple throws here or there that get away, but really not too much.
Practice. They should get away sometimes.
Yeah, so I think from the physical standpoint, it's all been there with him. But you do see the gap mentally, and not even as I brought up to Ryan in the interview. To me, Fields is still where he should be. He's still a rookie going through his first training camp. I haven't seen anything alarming yet.
Yeah, and let's say this. I think the defensive line in both units, first and second, has the edge right now. And I think it's affecting the quarterbacks. Like we talked about, you brought up Andy Dalton's arm angles. Well, he has to change his arm angle because Khalil Mack is in his face.
And there were more passes batted down today, by the way.
So you're having a lot of that. And I think that's good that the quarterbacks are experiencing it. I keep referencing Mark Trestman yelling at his defensive lineman not to knock down passes.
Don't knock down the ball.
And then we saw them, you know, not do it in the regular season. Right. Like, it's just, like, again, your point of reference on teams we've covered here. So, yes, the pads will change a few things. I think the offensive line is really looking forward to, you know, maybe bringing it to the defense a bit, because I think it changes the dynamic a bit. But, yes, in the early going here, both defensive lines, first and second unit, have seemed to have the edge. That's affecting both quarterbacks.
It was cool hearing Ryan share that story of coming into the building in the middle of June when everything's, you know, quiet, and he thought he was the only one here, and there's one pickup truck in the parking lot, and Justin Fields.
Yeah, can you imagine, like, you think you're the only guy in the building, and then, like, you get surprised down the hallway, and, oh, it's just, whew, Justin, great to see you. Like, and it's really great to see you.
It's a really big building, too, these days. I'm sure he wasn't too sad to see Justin Fields that day.
That's a good sign.
And a sign that the mental side of things will catch up. Absolutely.
It should. Like, everybody wants to get carried away by, you know, a batted down pass or an errant throw or a bad 7-on-7 drill, but he's coming along. Again, you see every now and then those tantalizing throws that made him a first-round draft pick. You see them, and you're wowed by them. He's doing more of them, but again, he's a rookie. The consistency should come.
Well, up next this week, pads go on. Finally, we'll get to see him. The Bears will be at Soldier Field on Tuesday, too, so we'll get to see that. And we'll wrap it all up later in the week with another podcast to, tell you what we see from the padded practices. It'll be fun.
This is when it gets exciting. Yes. Right? Like, this is when it gets real. Players are fired up. The one-on-one drills, pass rushers, offensive line, that's real football.
And then the week after that, the Dolphins are here. That'll be fun, too. And then the week after that, we'll all be ready for this to be over, and we want regular season games.
Maybe.
And there'll still be like another
trip to Nashville? Yeah, here we go.
There'll still be another month to go. All right, well, thank you for listening, watching, if you're watching on YouTube. Awesome having Ryan Pace. If you get a chance, please check out the YouTube page, subscribe, Hogan Johns. Good opportunity to see this facility,
see
too,
it.
At the same time. So we're grateful to have that type of access today and hear from the general manager. Hey, we got new shirts out too.
Should have gave one to Ryan.
We should have. The Bear, I guess they call it the Walking Bear logo, which is cool. Those are up on obviousshirts.com, so you can check those out as well. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, the whole deal. Any final thoughts?
No. See ya.
Really good, Adam.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.